And like I said, it is our 200th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program, and we have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines, bring him in right now, and welcome in Mr. Roger Schultz. Roger, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, great to hear from you. And you hail from a community called Chautauqua, Wisconsin, I understand.
Yes, we spend our summers up here, usually about 4 months, almost 4 months. And our home station is in Winter Haven, Florida.
All right. And I would have not recognized or known the name of Chautauqua, except that you guys made some news this past week, hit the national
news. That's right, since I last talked to you.
Yeah.
We were right in the middle. We were very, very lucky. We did have damage in our park, but nothing like what happened just 3 miles away.
And that was where all the damaged tornado hit the trailer court there, was it?
That was a trailer court and a turkey farm.
Okay, wow. Wow.
Yeah, it covers blocks and blocks. We drove by it, and it makes you sick.
I can believe that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mother
it's
Nature.
It's terrible.
Yeah, Mother Nature can wreak havoc if it decides to do so, and you don't want to be in the path.
No.
That's for sure.
No, we go from hurricanes down there to tornadoes up here, so I don't know what direction to go anymore.
For sure. Well, Roger, it's just a thrill to have you on as our 200th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. And I understand that you have a rich music career. It goes way back to when you were a youngster. So can you kind of bring us up to speed? Tell us how you got started.
Well, my dad was an accordionist, had his own band. He never studied music, and he had about a 4 or 5-piece group, depending, and played wedding dances. He played barn dances. We're talking back in the 30s now.
Okay.
And he insisted that I learn the right way, and he said, we're going to send you to a private instructor. And so I went to, according to Hager Music, it was called Appleton, Wisconsin, is where I went to school.
Okay.
And I studied 6 years, and I had two excellent instructors. And so I learned the right way, like he said, to read music.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of entertaining along that period of time when I was learning to play the instrument. I do a lot of singing, and my sister has an excellent voice. And she and I teamed up and did a lot of entertaining in her teenage years.
Okay.
And then I went on to the first band I played with was Dick Mitko out of Zena, Menasha, right next to Appleton.
Sure.
And I was with him just a little over a year, but we did make some records and recordings. And then Whoopi John gave me a call, and I had just turned 18.
Okay.
And so I was referred to him by a trumpet player that used to play with Dick Mitko.
Okay.
Yeah, and in a way, I had to try out. I mean, they had enough music to choke a horse. They have two stacks. I'm surprised the stand don't fall over when you put all the music on it. So, I tried out. It was about 3 nights they had me try out, and then they wanted me to join, and they gave me an offer, and I took it, moved from Appleton to St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
And then I was with Whoopi John for 4 years.
Really? Wow.
And they were on Decca Records. We made a recording every year. And then we made two recordings after Whoopi John had passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it as far as after that. Well, then I branched out into my own band and different things like that.
What was it like playing with Whoopi John? What was it? Was Whoopi?
Oh, it was a thrill. I mean, as young as I was when I came on, because he was carrying 11 musicians then,
uh-huh.
And he had 4 saxophones, two trumpets, trombone, drums, tuba, and accordion, and the guy played banjo and guitar.
Okay.
And I mean, when I sat down the first night, and that sound that came out all around me, I was kind of, you know, knocked off my feet, you might say.
I can believe that, yes.
Yeah, I had never been in the middle of a large band.
Sure.
They were all combos or whatever.
Well, who was the trumpet player?
It was great.
Who was the trumpet player that referred you to Whoopi?
His name was Kenneth Volk.
Okay.
And Kenny used to be a teacher at Oshkosh State Teachers College.
Okay.
And but he loved playing, and he just wanted to play his horn as a living, and that's how he ended up with Whoopi John, because he's one of the few bands that was still traveling and playing, you know, six, 7 nights a week.
Sure.
And there weren't too many of them left. And I'm saying even in the early 60s.
Okay.
The bands were starting to disappear pretty quick.
Sure. Do you remember your first job with Whoopi? Do you remember where it was at?
I remember my first tryout. Yeah, it was in a little town called Sherry, Wisconsin. It's not too far, actually, from Chautauqua here, where I was right on Highway 10. And the reason I remember it, that was my girlfriend's name.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, it was a regular dance, and they had me, sit in. They put the music up. Music out, and you better put forth.
Uh-huh. I'll bet.
You know, so anyway, I was not a great reader, but I was able to read most of the stuff that that they put in front of me that night, so it went okay.
It went all right. And year? What year about was that then?
That was in '58.
In '58, and then you went on for
late '58.
So about 4 years with Whoopi John.
And then Uncle Sam came knocking at my door.
Oh yes, okay.
And I was going to be drafted, and that was still that's how old I am. That's when he still had a draft.
Oh, that's right.
Which they don't have anymore now.
Right, right. And so, which branch were you in? Were you in the Army or? Which?
I was in the Army.
Army, okay.
Yeah, what I did was before I got drafted, which I knew I was going to get drafted, I had kind of had wedding plans. I met a gal in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, at a dance, Fournier's Ballroom, and we dated in between all the traveling that I did. And then when I got the call from Uncle Sam, she was a beautician, Genevieve is mm-hmm. my wife's name.
Okay.
And she moved to Appleton, and before I had to go in, and I decided to join, they had what they called a six-month program. You went in active duty 6 months, and then you were in active reserve 5.5 years. So that's what I did.
Okay.
And so I only had to go in, actually, for 6 months. And then when I came out, we got married, and we made our home in St. Paul.
Oh, neat. Very good.
Yeah, we both liked the Twin Cities, and we're both from Wisconsin.
Okay. Now, were you working besides, or was music your full-time career up until this point?
No, my main income in my lifetime, I worked for Chrysler Corporation.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was in the parts division in Golden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They had a parts depot there, and I started on the floor, and then I was offered a supervisor's job, but I had to go back to school. So I ended up going back to school while I was working, and got promoted, and Chrysler paid for my education.
Oh, that's great.
So anyway, I studied business and music, as much music as I could get, because it was easier for me, of
course.
There
you go.
And I ended up as the warehouse manager before I retired.
All right. So then, did you go back to Whoopi John after the service then, or then you started your own band?
No, I started my own band, but I did do, when we first moved to St. Paul after we got married, Pat Will Fart, Whoopi John's son, was still running the band, and he would hire me on occasion. And so, I still did play with him. In fact, like I said, we did make a couple albums yet after Whoopi was gone.
Okay.
And he died in 61. I was one of the pallbearers.
Oh, you were? Okay. Wow.
Right.
Okay. And what band did you form then? Was it called the Roger Schultz Band, or what did you call yourselves then?
You know, I actually, through the years, it kind of changed.
Okay.
And in a way, the first group I had, I only had a two-piece. It was myself, a drummer, and he played xylophone.
Okay.
And drums. And I call ourselves the Bell Tones.
Okay.
And then we went to a group called Sonny Rogers. And then, I don't even know why, but I changed it to Schulze.
Uh-huh.
And then that was the band I had the longest. I had that group, I had a four-piece group for over 20 years.
Wow.
And that was in the Twin City area.
Okay.
So we covered, you know, all your Legions and Moose Lodges and so forth, and some dance halls of smaller ones, and played mostly weddings and anniversaries and special parties and so forth. I used to play no less than three nights a week, and then I was working at Chrysler. Working a lot of overtime. I don't know. I know how I did it, but I couldn't do it today. I'll tell you.
Yeah, people. You know, all of us. We were born with a work ethic, and it just seemed like you just did it. I look back to how we would.
Yeah, you do. You do. You enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
And you hate to turn people down. And, you know, especially somebody that's getting married and wants to hire you for their wedding.
Sure.
That means something to a band leader when you get that, you know.
And those jobs.
And so I never turned anybody down unless I had another job.
And those jobs back in those days usually went from 9 to 1, so you were out there finishing up at 1 o'clock.
I know it. I know it. Yeah, most of them were 9 to 1.
Getting home at 2, 3 in the morning and then back to
work.
And
I would be opening up the door at the parts depot at about 5:30 the next morning.
Oh, boy, you were running on adrenaline then.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's for sure.
Well, then, you know what, Roger, we've already reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, so we're going to take a little break right here. Hold that thought.
Okay.
And then we'll come back after I read the ad and continue the conversation. How's that?
Sure. Wonderful.
All righty. So the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausages, where smiling faces and low prices will await you. The grilling season is now in full swing. The St. Joe Meat Market has just a number of great grilling ideas for you. Numerous fresh-cut beefsteaks for you, as it is beef month all through the month of May. Also, marinade pork and chicken items, and of course, a whole bunch of flavors of brats. Have you started a Bratmeister card yet? Well, how they work is when you come into the St. Joe Meat Market and purchase vacuum-packaged packages of brats at the regular price, you get a punch on your card for every package you purchase. Collect 10 punches, and the 11th package is free. What a great way to try all the many exciting flavors of brats available for you at the St. Joe Meat Market. As always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call us at 320-363-4913 for more information. And Roger, for being our guest on the program, and we started this thing way, way back in 2013, the St. Joe Meat Market, along with Chasm, and I have a hand on both sides there. We put up a nice meat package at the St. Joe Meat Market and mail that out to you, priority mail, so you get it in about a day's time, and hope that you and your wife and those around you enjoy it in good health. How is that for you?
Well, I'm sure we'll enjoy it. We're, I guess you could call us meat eaters.
Uh-huh.
We eat our share.
Well, that's
wonderful. That would be great.
That's good. Well, Roger, your wife's name, you said, is Genevieve?
Yes.
All right. And you guys have been married for quite a number of years then, huh?
Yes, we have. We have been married 54 years. We had a big party here in Chautauqua when we had our 50th, invited all our friends that are in the area. We had a lot of people coming from the Twin City area, and we had some from St. Cloud, and also Nebraska. I have some friends out that way, and yeah, we had really a nice group along with the relatives that are left around us, and we had a great party. So I don't know if we're gonna, I don't know if we're gonna do a 55 if we make it, or wait for a 60 if we make it.
Well, we're doing good. Well, where we left off was you had your band for 20 years. After that, what happened then?
Well, then I had a bout with cancer in 95, and in a way, actually, it was before I got the cancer. The music business, I don't know if you've talked to other people or musicians about that, but the groups and your dance halls, such as your Knights Columbus and Legions and so forth, they started hiring disc jockeys.
Yes.
So the music business was just, I was getting less and less calls, you know, and I started, well, it used to be nothing less than three nights a week. Well, then it was one night a week, and then pretty soon we weren't even filling up a month's worth. And I told the other guys, I said, well, I said we're just, all the legions and that dropped us. Because the first they wanted you to come with less men. We were down to three, and then we were down to two, and that wasn't fair to the other musicians. And so it was just a drummer and I said, that's it. So in a way, a gentleman from Germany was after me for the longest time, but I kept turning him down to stroll at his German restaurant in Mount Rose, Minnesota.
Yes. The Bayerischerhof.
And yeah, yes, you're right. The Bayerischerhof. And I caved in and I decided to try it. And it was, if you want to say that term in music, it was love at first sight. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing it. So I was hooked, and then I did a lot of that, and I don't know how many nights a week I did that. And then another restaurant opened up in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, Northeast, and it's called the Gasthof zur Gemütlichkeit.
Yes, I've heard of it.
And that is still there. The Montrose restaurant is now gone. But the one in Minneapolis is still there. So I was playing one place and the other, both of them, for a long time.
Wow.
Over 12 years I did that.
That's awesome. You bet.
Yeah, and I loved it. And that was kind of the end of my career.
Okay.
After that.
So are you playing
yet? I do a little bit of entertaining down in Florida. I have a keyboard that I use, and but the accordion doesn't get used too much except for my own enjoyment.
All right. Well, somewhere along the line, we missed, you did some work with a group called Brother Burr and the Burrows. Where did that fit in?
Yeah. Actually, I did not play with the band.
Okay.
I recorded.
Oh, just recorded.
I recorded with them.
Okay.
I probably misled you when we talked earlier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had never played with the band. The same thing with Carl and the Country Dutchman.
Okay.
I did a recording, a couple of recordings with him, but I never did, you know, play with the band.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, those are two that I can think of offhand that I did, you know, extra recordings other than with Whoopi John.
Sure. Well, I'm sure over the years you rubbed elbows with a lot of great musicians. You care to mention a few of them that that you remember?
Oh boy, yeah. In a way, you, I don't know if you had Ron Mann and Ernie on at all out of Omaha.
Yes, we have, yep.
Oh, I would have figured you'd had it. Well, if you need any figures or statistics about the Whoopi John Band. He's a walking dictionary. He can give you everything you need to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, he took pictures of every ballroom we played. But, yeah, he was the lead trumpet player.
Okay.
I never saw a person that could read music like he could.
Really?
The guy could. Whoopi John's book or his music library, he can stump any musician in anywhere if he wants to. He can pull out a piece of music and say, "Look, we're going to do this polka," and believe me, it'll stump the best. But by God, that guy, Ron, I don't think he ever missed.
Uh huh.
There wasn't a thing that he couldn't read. I'll tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's Jerry Strack, who yep. not only plays trumpet well, then he plays accordion mm-hmm. even better. I'd say he plays better than I do. And he lives in Wisconsin Rapids now.
Yep, we've had him on the show already, too.
Yeah, he does entertaining on mm-hmm. his own. And then there were some sax players. Bob Farley. Was the lead alto player and wrote a ton of Whoopi John's music. And he also wrote all the modern, when they did do a modern song, which wasn't too often, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote all his modern music. And Bob Farley used to have his own 18-piece band at the Brown Ballroom in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was the big band, for years at the Prom. And then there was one came on later, and now for the life of me, I can't think of the band's name. But, that was probably the best sax player that
okay.
I played with on any band. Bob was just, he was just all around. He had a beautiful wife who sang as good as she looked. And so, of course, she did the big bands in those days always used to have a female vocalist would sit out front and
sure.
come up and sing a few here and there.
Uh-huh.
So that's what she did, yeah.
Wow.
That was, he had a great band. He could play well. Frank Carafell's another name comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
The tenor. I got one more for sure I got to mention. Jerry Cadillac.
Oh, Jerry, yes.
And he's out of Hutchinson, Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah, and Jerry played tenor, and also he loved to play the baritone.
Okay.
That's the big sax. And he didn't get a chance to do that unless we were going with the 11 men.
Oh, yeah.
But when we had 11, then he'd move over on the big baritone.
Oh.
Yeah, Jerry Cadillac.
And sure.
He's played for years around Hutch.
Yep.
In that area with a band called Bruce Bradley.
You bet. And you knew Bruce, huh?
Oh, I know Bruce real well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good friend, too.
Yeah, another great accordion
yeah.
player, huh?
There's so many good musicians around the Twin Cities now because there just aren't any traveling bands. That,
no.
You know, big bands to speak of. And, most of them just faded off into the sunset.
You bet.
You might see. Bob Schrepfer is another one just happened to pop up in my mind. He
sure.
lives in Bloomington, Minnesota, and I know there's other ones there yet too that were on the band, and you interviewed Don
Burkhart. Yep,
and he and I were roommates for a while on Whoopi's band.
Okay,
and the second trumpet, actually Jerry Strack, the one that plays accordion also mm-hmm. from Wisconsin Rapids, he played second trumpet for a long time with Ron Manherney. They teamed up real well.
When you were with Whoopi, was that little guy by the name of Roy Boyle still playing with Whoopi?
No, Roy had moved on. He went to started working in a music store. And he got a kick out of doing that, and
Sure.
I didn't know his age when he left, but oh God, he was a popular guy with the band.
Yep, he was.
Yeah, he was. He I guess he had polio or something.
Yep.
And he was a unique looking person because he was, and I shouldn't say this, but I mean he was crippled and, mm-hmm. and he had a ball. He was bald and I mean and a character.
Yeah.
You know, to go with it, he was just very. He didn't let anything bother him.
Yep.
And he sang these songs in a falsetto.
Uh-huh.
And he did a lot of the things that I'm trying to think. It wasn't Pee Wee Hunt, but this band had a singer that did a lot of falsettos.
Okay,
but,
sure.
Yeah, he was well liked. He was one of probably the most memorable musicians I think Whoopi ever had on his band.
Absolutely. How about Johnny Schultz? They said they recorded him and billed him as the man with the velvet voice. Was he on the band?
Yep. Johnny Schultz was before I came on,
uh-huh.
and I got to do all of the songs that he did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, so I came on probably about 2 years, I think, after he left.
Okay.
And that's when Kenny Volk came in, the trumpet player from Metco.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like I say, that's after he was with them, then they called me.
Sure.
About 6 months to a year later.
And,
he did all the vocals. And this was a kick in the teeth for me because, Whoopi wanted me on an album, and... he was kind of failing then. That's probably in 60. And he wanted to do an album with me doing a vocal on each side.
Okay.
Of the album, one song on each side. And so we got to the recording studio, and Whoopi's got a boss when it comes to recording. The guy comes from New York. And he flies in, and he's in charge of the recording. We record in Minneapolis uh-huh. at the K-Bank studio. I think they're still there.
Okay.
And anyway, the guy from New York, like I say, he ruled, okay? Well, we had this everything down, what we were going to record, and I went and got up to sing when we did the vocal one, and... the arm started waving in the control room, and it was a guy from New York.
Uh-huh.
He says, "Whoopi," he said, "I told you, no vocals."
Oh, my.
So, anyway, there was a big discussion and da-da this and da-da that. And then writer, this Bob Farley, he went around and he redid the charts. I mean, he redid them in less than half an hour. 10 musicians' charts and scratched the vocal out and put in their parts.
Really?
The horns and the... Well, anyway, Whoopi comes up to me when we were going to do it again, and he whispers in my ear, "Racha," he says, "when it's your time to sing, you get up and you sing."
Oh, really?
I thought, well, now what do I do,
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll do what Whoopi says, And
yeah.
So the introduction came, and we were getting to the part where that was rewritten for the horns, and I got up and I started singing and got about, 4 or 5 measures in, and up he jumps in the control room, waved his arms, said, "Whoopi, I told you, no vocals. We cannot take any vocals." So that was it. I never did get to do a vocal with Whoopi Johns.
Oh, really? And you like to sing. You like to sing. I mean, hearing your voice, you have a wonderful voice. And
I've done a lot of singing. I sang last summer for my nephew in church. I played the accordion and sang.
Oh, my goodness.
It made a few people uncomfortable, I think. But
Well, we're running short of time, Roger, but I want to just ask you quickly, some of the great accordion players that you've looked up to and played with. You mentioned Dick Metco, first of all. He must have been great, huh?
Metco had his own style, and he was phenomenal at it. A lot of people liked him. He was good looking, good personality. He sang, not too bad, and he was just very well liked, and he could play old time music like I say. He had his own style.
Sure.
It was very, very flashy. Let's put it. I'll use that word.
You bet.
He was very flashy. He could travel on the keyboard.
You bet. How about Myron Florin or Frankie Yankovic? Any of those guys?
Well, Myron Florin would be one of my picks. Of course, everybody knows him.
Right.
But there are others. My favorite at one time was his name is Tommy Gamina. I don't know if he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays everything. I guess that's why there wasn't anything from classical to jazz to old time. And his name is Tommy Gamina.
Uh-huh.
And, I always enjoyed him. And like you say, Myron Florin. You cannot help but enjoy his playing. Right.
Absolutely. You bet. And before we let you go, some of your favorite places that you got to play over the years with either of the bands or... What do you remember?
Oh, well, I hate to, if you have any Wisconsin listeners today, I don't want to put them down, but actually Minnesota had the most beautiful ballrooms of any state that I was in.
Really?
And unfortunately, most of them are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they went by the boards just like the big bands and everything else went by the boards. But the Proud Ballroom in St. Paul had to be in my top 10.
Sure.
Oh, that was gorgeous. They had a ballroom in Montevideo called the Fiesta.
Oh, okay.
That was gorgeous. The Cato Ballroom, I think, is still there. Mankato.
Yeah.
Is gorgeous. The one in, not Rochester,
Playmore in Rochester.
Gorgeous place. But all of the ballrooms in Minnesota just put Wisconsin to shame.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were all set up just... Well, when you went to the prom, you were like a movie theater. You came in, you had this great big entrance, and they had a big check-in booth. And then another area over where you would check your coats and wraps. And then the bathrooms were huge, and they had someone in there, brushing you off with shining your shoes. And then you rented a booth, and everything was set up in the dance hall where it didn't matter where you sat, what booth you rented, you still had a view of the floor and easy access to the floor. And a view of the band.
Sure.
They knew how to do it in Minnesota, let me tell you.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, Roger, we just want to ask you if you have a memory that you would like to share with the listeners, good, bad, or otherwise, from days gone by, anything that stands out in your mind that might have been out of the ordinary?
Oh, boy. Yeah, there was... some road trips, but I'm trying to think something. I guess it's meeting my wife in Eau Claire would be. I'd have to put that at the top.
Absolutely.
The Fourniers Ballroom where we met is only 40 miles now from where we're staying in Chautauqua.
Uh huh.
And that was a nice ballroom, but it was nothing like the prom or the ballrooms in Minnesota. But it was a nice ballroom, and I don't know who flirted with who first, but then we talked after we were done that night, putting my music away and so forth, and I got to know her, and we dated after that. She was going to beauty school in Eau Claire when we met.
That's
great. I guess that would be as memorable as I could get.
Absolutely. You bet. Well, very good, Roger. Well, our time has run out, so we want to take this opportunity to thank you very specially for joining us today on our Musicians Come and Play program. I tell each and every guest that if the good Lord is willing, you and I are both here down the road sometime, we'll do this thing again. How's that?
That would be great.
Very good.
And I will, I'll send you my tape that I made.
Well, that sounds good. We can get some of that music up in central Minnesota. That'd be wonderful. Alrighty.
That'd be great.
Well, if you want to hang on the line, Roger, I'll talk to you off the air, and we'll let you run right now, so you have a great afternoon.
Thanks.
Alrighty, and there he goes, Roger Schultz, out of Chautauqua, Wisconsin, our 200th guest here on a Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Takes us to 23 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, and we are at 46 degrees now in central Minnesota. Don't go away, music by the Wopajon Orchestra and others coming up in just a moment.